Ingrid Rojas Contreras was almost the victim of a terrible crime when she was a child. Instead, this event that didn't happen inspires her first novel, a coming-of-age story in Colombia of the 1990s. Two stories, really. 7-year-old Chula and her older sister Cassandra, who live in a gated community in Bogota, protected from the threat of car bombs, kidnappings, and assassinations in the time of Pablo Escobar and the drug lords. And then the story of Petrona, a slightly older young girl from the city's slums who comes to live with her family as a maid. The novel is Fruit of the Drunken Tree, and Ingrid Rojas Contreras, who's a book columnist for member station KQED, joins us from their studios in San Francisco. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor.
Tell us what didn't happen when you were a youngster in Colombia.
What didn't happen was that my sister and I were not kidnapped.
But you were, to understand, you were apparently targeted for that, right?
Yeah, that's right. We had received kidnapping threats, and I was young at the time, and my mother was a very strong woman, and she continues to be a strong woman, and she would receive these phone calls to our home detailing my sister and my schedule. So detailing, they get off the bus at this hour. We know what the bus route is. We know what they look like. It would just be these voices that she would have to deal with constantly. And she didn't let us know at the time. And later, there was my mother, because she grew up in poverty, she always wanted to help girls that she saw were stuck in their situations. And she would bring them in and they would become part of our lives. One of these girls was a girl that the character Petrona is based on. Mm-hmm. And she was threatened into acting against our family.
But didn't go through with it.
But she didn't go through with it. And that act of incredible kindness and compassion is something that didn't leave me for many years. Mm-hmm. And when I finally sat down to write, I just kept returning to that story, and I kept returning to my indebtedness for that act of kindness.
If I might put it this way, is this the novel you had to write before you could write anything else?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. When I wrote it, the country just emerged out of the words, the fog of Bogota, and what it was like to live amidst all that violence in the time of Pablo Escobar. It all rose up from the page, and it was alive in a way that my other writing at the time was not.
Help us try and get hold of what it was like. I mean, I happened to check just recently, Colombia has become a tourist destination. Great food, nice beaches, beautiful churches and artwork. But what was it like to live there in the 1990s?
It's incredibly beautiful. We have an amazing array of weathers. We have hot climate and we have jungle. We have the coast and we have all these hilly, beautiful villages where there's coffee plants everywhere. And yet, at the 90s and in the 80s, it was a time when violence was just a common part of our lives.
Yeah.
And we saw it on the television, and it happened to us or it happened to people that we knew. And so that was also part of our lives. And I think it was an inspiration, too, when writing this novel, that duality of living somewhere very beautiful and living somewhere where violence is riding underneath the surface.
Can we appreciate some of the forces in life that pull on Petrona?
Yeah, of course we can. Petrona's story is something that feels very urgent for me to make known. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea that not all people who join the guerrillas or who join a violent group in Colombia are people who join wholeheartedly. So in Petrona's case, she is someone who becomes trapped into it, and she is someone who is placed in a family, and it can be instrumental to the guerrillas in carrying out a kidnapping. And so for that reason, she is cornered and she is taken into it. But she is not a willing participant of that.
Do you have any idea what happened to the real-life Petrona?
I do know, but I do want to respect her privacy. Mm-hmm. I will say that she did suffer personal consequences for what she didn't do.
Oh, my gosh. How is she today?
You know, I haven't talked to her since it happened. She called my family a few months, let's say, after the event took place. Mm-hmm. And she told my mother everything. She told my mother what she had gone through. And we did everything that we could for her at the time. And that was the last time that I talked to her. I wonder where she is now, and I wonder how her life turned out. And I think in writing this book, it was a way for me to answer to that.
You, I gather you teach writing to immigrant high school students in San Francisco.
Yes, I do. They are a wonderful group of 9th and 10th graders that I was working with last year. And they're all in between languages, just like I am. And I, you know, teach them how to tell stories, and we write poems, and they write about their experiences, their journeys, and their family histories.
Oh, my word. There must be lots of really good stories.
Yeah, their stories are very incredible. And every time that I go, I just feel honored to be there with them and to be a person in their lives who is deeply interested in what they've gone through. And as a writer, I just know that when we tell our stories and when immigrants tell their stories, that it can be very healing and it can be very grounding and it can give you a sense of power and empowerment. So I love going there, and I love being able to facilitate their stories.
Ingrid Rojas Contreras, her new novel, Fruit of the Drunken Tree. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott.